Hello and welcome to the Pay Surge Podcast. Happy New Year to you. And I'm back, as always. You know, I didn't go anywhere, but you know, you never know. It's 2024. It's a new year. Same old host, same topic. I am consistent. You can always count on that. I'm always consistent, and I haven't changed in 20 years. I've been doing this Google Ads management for 20 years now, 21 years or something like that now that it's 2024. And I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to share my knowledge with you. If you are interested in learning about Google Ads for your business, to try and further your career, if you're interested in how to get more out of your Google Ads campaign, stay tuned because today I'm answering questions from fellow listeners that also want to know how to get more out of their campaigns. They are typically, a typical user is going to be running a Google Ads search campaign, trying to sell an item or someone who's trying to generate leads for their company, trying to get the phone to ring, trying to get someone to fill out a form on their website, trying to sell something. And if you like to sell things and make money, Google Ads is definitely a place to put your ads up and get more customers coming in. The trick is, how do you do it the right way? Yeah, that's what we're going to talk about today. So I have several questions from people all around the world, and you're going to learn a lot. That's guaranteed. First thing we're going to start with is a reminder about the best software on the planet for Google Ads management. You're listening to the best podcast, and the best podcast tells you you should be trying Opteo.com/PSP. It's a new year. It's a new opportunity to try something that will make you more productive in the new year. Opteo.com/PSP is the URL that you can go to do a 2-month free trial, right? It's January. You can try it all of January and all of February for free. An amazing software to try for 2 months. So if you want to know how to get more out of your bidding strategies, what kind of keywords you might be completely missing the boat on, certain settings that you didn't even know existed, certain things that maybe that old manager in your account had that you don't even realize that's absolutely destroying the performance of your account, this is an opportunity for you to right all of the wrongs that have been done back in 2023. It's a new year, and you can try out Opteo for free for 2 months. That's Opteo.com/PSP. The link is in the description. And we're going right into the questions. This episode 393 for the first week of January 2024, I'm going to be taking questions. If you would like to have your question possibly answered on the show, you can go to paidsearchpodcast.com and email me there. You can also just email me directly. If you can remember the podcast email, it's pretty difficult. It's paidsearchpodcast@gmail.com. So send me a question there and I will eventually get to it. And I usually reply and let you know when I'm answering your question. So without further ado, let's jump in. First question is from Yoni in Manchester. This is actually another question from Yoni. Yoni, I hope that's right. Hey, if I get it wrong, then just giggle at me and laugh. And hey, it's no offense if I get it wrong because I probably say your name wrong. Yoni in Manchester says, I currently have a new Google Ads account I'm working with. The goal is to draw in as many customers into the physical store as possible. What do you think is the best way to set up this account, and how would you set up tracking for this account? Okay, so Yoni, this is definitely a different kind of situation because many times in the podcast, I discuss websites that don't have a physical location. And I think this absolutely, if you have a physical location trying to draw people to this physical store, one of the things you absolutely have to be very careful about is one of two things needs to be the case. If you're going to target your ads very widely, let's say all of United Kingdom, for example, a nationwide target, you would need to make sure that you have some type of geographic reference in those keywords. Those keywords need to be geographically referenced to something that would require the person to be searching in a certain area, north, south, east, west, something. I don't know a whole lot about the UK, so I'm not going to try and pretend. Whatever indication that's going to be about where they are or what kind of service store, I mean, if it's a restaurant, then it's going to be a very tight geographic requirement. If it's some kind of specialty store that might be regionally of interest, then maybe a little bit looser. But you need to make sure that the keywords are geographically targeted. Or your other thing you need to do is make sure that your geographic targets are very tight. You need to make sure that either you have a set of zip codes specific to the areas that you might want to show up in, postal codes, as you might call them. Another thing might be a certain radius that might be more appropriate, a certain mile radius around the area might be something you can do. You can even set up multiple rings where you might have a 5-mile radius, 10-mile, 15-mile radius, and then bid those up and down. Maybe the 5-mile radius, you have a 25% bid up. Maybe the 10-mile radius has no bid adjustment, and then the 15, maybe 20-mile radius has a 35% bid down on that wider radius. This kind of concentric ring radius system is a good way to incentivize Google to bid more on the center of that geographic area. Might be something interesting to do, you could do there. Another opportunity that you probably want to take advantage of is you need to use near me in terms that contain the core meaning of that actual store. So if you're selling furniture, maybe it's handmade wooden furniture. So handmade wooden furniture near me. You don't really need to always contain a city name in something like this. Many times city names aren't included. Maybe a very large city might be something people use, like something that would be ubiquitous with a very wide area. People just use a term to name a very large area. That might be okay. But if you're not specifically interested in that kind of naming system, then near me, I think, is a very strong localized term that Google interprets very well. Very often you'll find that near me can get you terms that will replace near me with a town name that's actually near them in the actual search term. So there's a lot of opportunity there to use near me. Now, another thing that you might do is sometimes I actually find that some of those smart campaigns, for lack of a better term, it's basically a Google Ads smart campaign where you put in a few keyword ideas. You write a very generic kind of ad. You basically write the descriptions and Google writes the headlines. And that might be a good opportunity for you to possibly do something there. You could possibly show up on some good searches at a very low rate. Now, these smart campaigns are not standard Google Ads shopping, but I often find that Google can get some very cheap traffic, which might be very, very difficult to do in other standard search campaigns. Might be something you can try. I've seen some success with local service campaigns like that, where plumbers, electricians who are trying to find work will use these very simplistic campaigns to get cheap traffic. It's a very elementary kind of campaign, but it might be something you could try. Something you may not have thought of before. Now, last, as far as tracking. So if you're tracking and you're wanting to know how successful the campaign is, I'll tell you, it's going to be very difficult. There are campaigns that will allow you to supposedly track people that have actually used directions and come to your facility. So there is a potential for you to have that location asset attached to your campaign so that you can track people that click get details or get directions. They can actually click that and you can track that as a conversion. So that's one opportunity. Everything else outside of that is pretty much normal. Have a phone call tracking system set up. Of course, a call asset is going to be important. Having forms that are tracked, having a book appointment booking is going to be important. All those things are going to be very standard. So I wouldn't say they're any different for this situation than anything else. But that's a good little checklist for a locally focused store, physical location that you're trying to drive traffic to. The number one thing that you want to make sure that you don't do is don't limit your campaign to just a very, very small area. You'll find that the cost per click becomes very expensive. It might be prohibitive for you to even afford to get that kind of traffic. If you do something very, very small with very, very specific keywords, it might be very hard for you to even afford that kind of traffic. So you need to make sure you allow for enough leniency for, you know, people that travel outside of the area. People very often commute, live outside of that immediate area. So you need to have a little bit wider area. And the keywords probably shouldn't be all exact match. You need to allow some leniency to be able to find the right kind of traffic. Then slowly move towards condensing and focusing that traffic once you've learned some lessons about what works and what doesn't. So don't start too small or you'll find that very small geographic location, highly targeted keywords don't play well together. They become expensive. They become almost impossible for you to be able to actually afford that kind of traffic. So I hope that's helpful. Next, we're going to move to Emily in Iceland. Emily says, how do you optimize audiences in search campaigns? So this is actually a special request. Emily did a consulting session with me, which many people do all the time. I do those every day. You can learn more on my website, chrisschafer.com. And in the session, she said something that I don't hear you talk a lot about is audiences and how to use them. Well, first, thank you for the question, Emily. And absolutely, this is a very important topic. I used to talk about it a lot years and years ago, and it's true, I've fallen off a bit on how much I bring it up. So thanks so much for the shot in the arm on that, because you're right, it is an important aspect. So first, let me define what an audience is. An audience is a group of users who have been categorized according to their search and browsing habits. Google can collect data about its users and determine who's likely to be getting married soon, who's likely to be moving soon, who has a great interest in sports vehicles or luxury purchases of some kind, people that are of a certain age. All kinds of different determinations can put you and lump you into certain groups. These are called audiences, and these audiences can range from very wide things to people who are just interested in technology to really specific things like people that are interested in video games. It can be very wide and very specific. And these come in two forms. They come in the form of an audience that is based on an in-market audience. This is a person who's interested in buying something in the immediate future. The other side is an affinity, so it's referred to, an affinity group. That's basically an interest or a hobby. Someone who continually researches and looks up things in a particular category of some kind. So you could think of it as just a hobby of some kind, an interest. If you tend to look up the latest sports cars or sports of some kind, or you know, shopping of some kind, that would put you into a certain affinity group because you tend to browse that kind of interest. So now that you understand a bit about the creepy factor of what Google tracks of these users, which is completely anonymous, regardless, it is tracked. And we are all put into different categories. And then as advertisers, you can decide to target that audience. So the best way to use these audiences, I have a couple rules. Number one, the first rule is you should choose an audience that is related to something that is important to your business or your product of some in some way. Let's say that you offer a car transport service. You do car transporting of some kind. It might be very important if you know that people are in market to relocate. There's actually an audience called relocation, moving and relocation. And if you're put into this audience, it could be critical that your business bid aggressively on people within that audience, because those people would be very likely to use your car shipping transport service. Now, what would be a mistake is if you take something very generic, like just a person who has an affinity for sports vehicles or trucks or anything like that. These are massive steps to show that the person would more likely purchase or interact with your business. That's a very wide aspect. In no way would a person, just because they're interested in sports cars or racing cars of some kind, be more likely to convert in car transport. That's a bit of a stretch. And secondly, these very wide generic audiences draw in thousands and thousands times more traffic than very specific audiences like moving and relocation. So when you choose these audiences, make sure that you choose audiences that are, number one, related to what you're selling, to what you're pitching, to what you want to, what kind of leads you want to get. And then number two, don't necessarily represent the highest level of that audience group, not just vehicles and not just sports vehicles, but moving in relocation, right? That's much more specific. It's a much smaller audience group. It's several sub-levels down when you're going through the tier of all the different audiences that are available. So this is important because once you set all this up, then the final steps from there is you can actually bid higher on some of those specific audiences. There's a way for you to place a bid modifier up or down on those specific audiences. So you could bid up for people who are in the moving and relocation audience, which would mean if your static bid is $10 and you bid 20% more, you would bid $12 for that specific moving and relocation audience member because they're both searching your keyword and a part of the audience group. So you can see how this is increasingly more valuable as you crank down on someone not only that is searching a keyword, but also someone who is showing historical tendencies of someone who's moving, who is relocating soon because of the types of searches that they're doing, the types of things that they're doing in their Google search history and browsing and things like that. Then it goes on from there. There's tons of things you can do even further, like specific targeted audiences for an entire campaign. You can target one audience, one small audience for an entire campaign and devote an entire budget just for that. So it can get really complicated, and you have some amazing little testing scenarios where you can single out a group of people and show specific ads to them, have a specific custom landing page for them. So it really goes further. But the first step that you must take is make sure you don't just target all of the audiences. There's a ton of audiences out there. Specify the audiences that make sense to you for what you're doing, And then from there, you need to start testing those, seeing which ones provide the most return for you, and then take steps from there. Okay, so we have another question from Adam. Adam says, hey, Chris, love the podcast. Thank you for all the work you do to make the podcast a reality. Well, thanks, Adam. I've been listening to quite a bit of your material on digital ad spend and conversion rates, and I can't seem to get a clear picture on how to make the numbers work on a smaller ticket item. When I have a $60, $100, $300 product, I can work different A/B tests over time to figure out how to make a $1.25 click profitable. Or if it's not going to be profitable, you can figure that out. But when the product is cheaper, like $15, $10 cheaper t-shirt items, $1.25 clicks add up really fast and add up to immediate failure. So what is your recommendation for those of us with small margins, $10 to $15, to play with as we head to Google for spending money on ads? Okay. Interesting question, Adam. So the first thing I'm going to say right out the gate is this. I hope that you are using or intend to use Google Shopping. That is the number one place to go for the most affordable click traffic at volume that has the highest potential for conversion rates. Everything that I said there is critical as to why shopping campaigns are better for e-commerce, specifically very small, tight margin e-commerce campaigns. Let's go through them real quick. Number one, very low cost per click. There's a huge amount of volume coming through on shopping. And you can show many different ads in shopping. You can show multiple products at once. It does not have to be in, like in Google search, where you just show one at a time and it's only going to be triggered for just this one. You can show multiple. And that could be a great opportunity because as a person scrolling through, you show multiple times, different types of products, different things, and potentially get that click. So because there's so much volume, the cost per click is very cheap. Now, because people are able to see the product, see the price, interact with the product a lot more before they ever make that click, there's a lot more probability that person is going to be making an informed click whenever they click on that shopping ad. This is very different than a text ad. A text ad on Google.com tends to just get it's really become almost kind of an insta-click environment. If you're number one, people just tend to click that first position right away. They don't really read. But with Google Shopping, it's an image. And an image can say a lot more than what a person won't read in a text ad. So this can be critically important because the price is shown. The image is shown. And a person who's doing that search may just be scrolling through and they notice a certain color or a certain style or a certain price range that they want or do not want. And it would therefore inform their click much more than just a text ad that doesn't have anything about pricing or doesn't have anything about the color or the style or the size of any of the product that they are selling. So this makes it a much better investment for you because people are more likely to convert. And this is, when these two things roll together, lower cost per click and a higher chance to convert, this means higher profitability. It tends to lead to higher profitability. Very often I run search campaigns with text ads right beside shopping campaigns, and very often the shopping campaigns outperform because of those two factors. Better conversion rates, lower CPC. That's it. A formula like that will always lead to better return on ad spend. It's just a fact. So that is number one where I would tell you to go. Assuming you're already doing that and you're not finding it, here's a couple more tips. Number one, go higher in the funnel. Higher in the funnel means cheaper clicks. broader keywords, wider reaching. Use bidding strategies that force Google to use cheap CPCs, like max clicks with a click bid limit in place. This is very important because automated bidding that uses max conversions does not have any CPC bid limits in place. And this could be very detrimental for your returns if you're not able to maintain conversions and Google's not able to hit that goal for you, then it could be absolutely detrimental. So make sure you're paying attention there. The other option, and this one's third for a reason, it's not really my favorite, but you could try venturing into other networks like Google Display Image Ads and possibly YouTube. But keep in mind, the only real advantage that you have here is that the cost per click is very cheap. It's affordable for a reason. It's not particularly engaged traffic. This traffic is not, it's the opposite of shopping. It's very uninformed traffic. People were not asking for an ad. People are maybe just curious and they click something, or maybe they think your ad is something else and they click on it thinking, you know, it's something else. Who knows? There's all kinds of weird reasons why people would click ads, because it doesn't cost them anything, but it certainly does cost you something. So the intent and the value of display ads is much, much less. So keep your clicks very, very low. Your cost per click should be extremely low. Talking, you know, cents here when you're testing this kind of stuff. And that's a third possibility for you. But hopefully you find a solution and a balance between all of those. All right, next we go to John, who says, over the last few months, I've been trying to get into the world of freelancing and wondering if you had any advice on getting clients. I've been fairly successful with networking, but was wondering if you had any client acquisition methods that you found useful. So thanks, John, for the question. And best of luck to you in the world of freelancing. That is where I started my business, and it's where I am now. I basically just take jobs as I see fit for me, and it's a great place to be in. And I wish I had a good answer for you. And when people ask me this question, the only way that I can answer it truthfully is to tell you what I did. And maybe you can draw some conclusions and some ideas based on what I did. So I'll tell you. One of the things that I did when I was up and coming was I reached out to smaller ad agencies, particularly agencies that focused on SEO, particularly agencies that built websites, because these companies very often will not have a PPC guy, or they'll do PPC and they'll do it very poorly, and they just kind of wish they had someone, but there's no way they're ever going to hire someone in-house because that's too expensive and they can't really find anybody that can reliably do work for them that does a good job. So they're a great resource for you to reach out to them. I'm not talking about big companies. Those bigger SEO kind of companies, they probably don't have a problem with it. But these smaller web development companies, you know, mom and pop kind of shops, they're everywhere. I'm not talking about going on Google and doing a search. I'm talking about taking a drive around your neighborhood, around your town, and you'll see, like, you know, George's web, you know, web and PC shop. You know, this is what I'm talking about. Small, very small kind of companies. These companies would love to have someone reliable that they can send their PPC work to, because they get requests for PPC. They're like, hey, can you do my website? And, oh, do you do Google Ads? Can you help me with that? And they usually say yeah, and then they probably do a bad job, or no, and they regretfully turn away the work. So reach out to them. See if maybe you can work out something with them. Another thing that I did was, back in my day, I did Elance, which is no longer, that's a defunct site. Now there's tons of other ones out there, but this is a great opportunity for you to cut your teeth on a ton of different projects at different pay levels. This is usually where I tell people to go all the time because it's a great way to just have your pick. You know, people get really intimidated because they think, there's a million people on this site, I'm never going to get the job. Well, there's also a million opportunities out there as well. And they're all not looking for everyone. They're looking for one particular person. And if you take your time and apply for some jobs, you'll find some that accept you. And they're normal companies out there. They're not looking to cheat anyone. It's a good opportunity to meet people and try to find, to expand your reach from what you have been doing before. Different industries, different types of campaigns that you've never worked on before in Google Ads. I think those two things are great places to start. And then from there, while this is happening, work on your website. Work on your web presence. Work on having a good site that's readable, that's understandable, that people can come to it and find you to be trustworthy, find you to be a good resource for that specific thing that they're looking for. And that's what I did. And now after, I don't know how many years I've been doing this. I started in 2009 is when I started freelancing for myself. So it's been a long time, but eventually you won't have to look for clients in the way that you used to. They will tend to find you. You'll work up a network that continues to send and regard you as a good resource. So hopefully that helps, and best of luck, John. I wish you the best of success in 2024 in freelancing. I hope you do well. All right, so now we're jumping over to Carlin in Texas. Actually, very close to my area here. Carlin sent me an email and says, "Hey, Chris, I got a couple campaigns running with manual CPCs and enhanced CPCs are turned off." Let me say that again in case I said that too fast. He has manual CPCs and enhanced CPC is turned off. That means Google has no authority at all to change the bids of his keywords. If you want absolute authority for what your bids are, what you're bidding per keyword or ad group, you would not have on enhanced CPC or any of that. It's just pure, 100% pure manual bids. However, Carlin says, "I'm still getting clicks at about twice the amount of what he placed his bids for." So he's wondering, what's going on? What does he need to look for here? What's the problem? Well, Carlin, what I would say is the culprit is most likely some hidden secondary bid. And I'm talking time of day, device, audience, gender, income. There's a bunch of them. And I got good news for you. Before you go hunting and trying to find where it is, the best thing to do is go to your ad groups and add a new column. It's called active bid adjustment. Okay. This is a specific column that you add into Google Ads at the ad group level. Keep that column active all the time. I keep it on my screen all the time because it will tell you where your bid adjustments are at. It'll say device, ad schedule, and different things. And it might be that you have 20% in one area, 30% in one area, and another 15% in another area. All of those are adding up to doubling your CPCs. That could be where it's coming from. It might be a bunch of little small bid adjustments that are adding up and causing a influx of things you don't want to pay that much for anymore. So you need to start striking those out. All right, so we got the last question here. Last question is from Bernadette. And before I get into Bernadette's question, I want to remind you about Optio. Optio.com/PSP is the software to try for free for 2 months. 2 months for free to try my only recommended Google Ads software, period. Many, many of the listeners of this podcast have tried it. If you listen to the show long enough, you hear people mention it all the time. Oh, by the way, I love Optio. They say it all the time. And I don't add that in. They tell me that when I do consulting with people, they tell me that it is a great software. You're going to like it. And very special offer. Just from listening to this show, you can go to Optio.com /PSP. Use the link in the description to get 2 months for free. All right. Bernadette says, hi, Chris. I've been listening to your podcast since I first started learning PPC for our carpet cleaning business in 2019. The agencies we used to have were not providing successful results for us. So I took it up upon myself to learn PPC and have learned to love it. That's great. I even help other business owners I know once in a while do audits on their account and giving them advice. Wow, okay. So really expanding, becoming a wealth of knowledge. That's great. Glad the podcast has helped you do that. So here's the question. I came across an account that was not performing well at all and was running. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why I included this question in my list. This is amazing. Okay. I came across an account. Okay. I got it. Okay. I know it's coming. So I just have a hard time reading this with a straight face. I came across an account that was not performing well at all and was running almost 1,500 ad groups and almost 8,000 keywords. Is this some strange skag strategy? It's not an e-commerce campaign. It's another business like mine, which, if you forgot, that's carpet cleaning. Carpet cleaning with 8,000 keywords. And Bernadette is nice enough to state that they have 8 campaigns and 3 ad groups and about 500 keywords. Okay. So there's some basis of what a successful account looks like. And finally, they conclude, the agency running this campaign seems legit and has a lot of clients, and I'm perplexed why someone or anyone in their right mind would set up an account like this. Any thoughts from you about this strange strategy? Well, Bernadette, it is always perplexing to me as well when I come across strategies like this. I'll tell you the truth. I mean, it's the end of the show. A lot of people have clicked off, not going to listen anyway. So, you know, the people that we don't want here to hear this are going to be gone because, you know, they scraped off a few of the tips from the first few minutes. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times it's agencies that create obscure tactics or protocols that come from like pre 2018, 2019 kind of timelines, these crazy strategies that began in Skag and then just went absolute bonkers from there. They think that these systematic strategies that are very much akin and I think draw roots from SEO, they think that this is how you do PPC. And it's absolutely right that you were blown away by something like this. It's absolutely crazy. And it's not a surprise at all that you specifically say that the campaign was not performing well at all. That makes perfect sense. This is a crazy kind of campaign. Let me explain why something like this would happen. The reason this usually happens is, and I don't say this as an offensive term, but it's ignorance. Ignorance meaning they don't know. Not that they're stupid, but just that they're ignorant. And what they're ignorant about is that they are ignorant about how Google works now in 2024. 2024 Google Ads was the same as 2023, which is the same as 2022. Now it starts to change a little bit, 2021, 2020. That was a little bit different. Now 2024 Google Ads does not respect your keywords. Now, you could take that one sentence, and that's enough to explain why you don't need 8,000 keywords. But I'm going to go further and explain why you don't need 8,000 keywords. And I'm going to base this all on that one thing. Google does not respect your keyword. The reason you don't need 8,000 keywords and 1,500 ad groups is because if one keyword is not respected, in other words, the keyword is not the actual traffic that you get, right? If it's carpet cleaning near me and Google gets 55 different search terms that come from carpet cleaning near me, then why would you need carpet cleaning near me cheap, affordable carpet cleaning near me, carpet cleaning business near me? Why would you need all those iterations if one keyword is not respected? What value do you think you're bringing to the Google Ads system by adding 800 versions of that and doing that over and over and over again? It makes no sense. It used to make sense. There used to be a system years ago, 10 years ago, that might work like that, but it doesn't work like that anymore. And Google doesn't respect keywords in the way that it used to. And I use the word respect because I very often am upset by the leniency that Google allows keywords to match for, because I don't think it's a very respectful thing to do whenever someone has a keyword that says carpet cleaning near me and I get a search term that says how to shampoo carpet. That feels like too much liberty. That they've taken too much liberty in the close variant matching of that keyword to the search term. So for that reason, by adding 8,000 keywords, what's happening is the leniencies are uncontrollable. There's no way that you can control and add enough negative keywords to maintain that kind of volume. There's just going to be tons of keywords, and especially if they're a broad match, it's going to be absolutely out of control. So why is it done? Well, it's done, out of ignorance. If they knew how Google was interpreting these keywords, and go back, I have an entire episode. It was months ago about the first word in the podcast episode was the word crazy, all caps, crazy. And it talks about keyword changes. And it's not necessarily new news, but I just wanted to be very plain about how Google interprets keywords. Go back to that and listen. If you're not understanding just the relationship between a keyword and a search term. And once you understand that, you'll realize that 8,000 keywords are not necessary. You start realizing that you don't need thousands of keywords. You may not even need hundreds. You might need just tens. You might need a few keywords to be successful once you start to whittle it down. The 80-20 rule of only 20% of the keywords that you use actually mean anything. And 80% are basically useless. That's still a rule that is very true today. And you'll have a sharper campaign whenever you realize just what those keywords are doing in the actual search terms. Okay, and that is it. A massive Q&A episode to start off the year. If you would like to reach out to me, my link is in the description of wherever you are listening. You can reach out to me for Google Ads management and consulting. I do 1-hour consulting sessions every single day. It is a constantly sold out product. I'm very rarely available within 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. It's very popular. I've been doing it for years and years and years. People pre-buy those sessions ahead of time. If you're interested, go to my website and book a time, and I'd be happy to help you personally one-on-one with your account, or teach you or train you on how to be better with your Google Ads. Otherwise, just stay tuned here, stay subscribed, and I will be back next week.